Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Here's a question for you. Do you feel constantly stressed, anxious, worried, maybe in desperate need of a vacation? Well, just for the record, I am all for those much-needed times away. Did you know that millions of hours of earned vacation go to waste every single year because Americans refuse to slow their pace and get some rest? However, sometimes the stress we're feeling isn't about our need of a vacation. It's about something altogether different, something even deeper. My guest today writes this: most people think their anxiety, depression, or unrest is caused by their circumstances. Yet there are hundreds of thousands of people who are anxious or depressed who do not have circumstances to match their level of unrest. And on the flip side, many people with extremely intense lives and life circumstances can live without such torment. So what is at the root of unrest, really? How do we eliminate it? Well, first you have to believe that you can have rest and you can be still even in the midst of the chaos. Well, Jenny Donnelly joins me today to talk about her book, Still, 7 Ways to Find Calm in the Chaos. And if you're someone who tends to bend towards anxiety, or where you just start to feel that fight-flight thing rise up in you all the time, you want to check out this book. I'm so grateful to Revell. We've got five copies to give away today. And if you listen often enough, you know the drill, but we've got new listeners joining us all the time. So let me tell you how. You text the word book to 877-933-2484. Just the word book, not book in quotations, not even book with an exclamation point. Just the word book. You're going to get an automated response with a link. It takes about a minute for you to enter the drawing. And we so thank you for your patience in that process. In order for us to stay true to our commitment to give lots of resources away every single day, we need a little help. We don't have the manpower to manually enter all of those addresses. So if you give us a minute of your time, we get you in the drawing. All right. So again, Jenny's book is titled Still, 7 Ways to Find Calm in the Chaos. We've got 5 copies. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. I got a quick announcement before we hear from Jenny. Want you just, and I'm sure you've heard this already, but want you to keep Dr. Tony Evans' family in your prayers. We were off all last week, so I couldn't hop on and talk about it. And then we had a snafu with a guest yesterday, so we were taped. So here I am today, wanting to honor the memory of Lois Evans, Dr. Tony Evans' dear wife. She passed away from cancer on December 30th. And Dr. Evans wrote this. He said, "Just before the sun came up this morning, the love of my life transitioned from earth and watched her first sunrise from heaven." She died on December 30th. You know Priscilla Shire. You may know Crystal Evans Hirsch. She's a friend of mine. They've got 4 children. Remember the Evans family. They are an amazing kingdom family, and we're keeping them in our prayers. So appreciate you doing the same. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Jenny's an author, speaker, and entrepreneur. She's the founder of Her Voice Movement, a national community gathered for the purpose of equipping and empowering women to live and lead biblical truth. She's also the co-founder with her husband of the Collective Church in Portland, Oregon. And she also founded Telestai Ministries, which exists to develop biblical leaders. She and her husband, Bob, live in Oregon with their 5 children. Dear Jenny, welcome to the program. So nice to meet you.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, looking forward to the conversation about your book Still. It's really wonderful. But we love to start every day talking scripture, and I know you love God's word. So is there a verse you've been pondering, hanging around these days you can share with us?
Yes, I am having a blast going through Acts recently. And it's hard to narrow it down, but I love in the Passion Translation how it's described the unity of the people. And it says that they're in one heart and one mind. And then I'm just flipping through right now, looking at this, you know, it talks about that their hearts were linked together as one. And I think, you know, I'm 45 this year and with my 5 kids and I have 2 teenagers, 2 toddlers, we actually live with a whole bunch of people on a property, on a retreat property, and run this center. There's a lot going on here. And there's so much opportunity for division when you start living in close quarters in the kingdom. And so, you know, I don't know if it's my age or the stage or the number of people I'm around all the time, but I just am very much cherishing unity and community in the sense of being linked in heart and mind and really trying to get rid of our own selfishness. So that's what I'm seeing in Acts right now. You know how you read the word and you just see different stuff depending on the season of life you're in. But yeah, that's really, really energizing me right now.
You know, it's really something we have to be so intentional about. I do this online coaching thing, and the first group that I did, they just automatically rose to the occasion and were just determined to love each other, accept each other. You know, I asked for that, but I felt like they rose above even what I asked for. So the next group, I told them, look, I have to tell you what I saw in this first group. There is a way for us to walk together, to make allowances for each other's faults, to believe the best, to sort through our stuff in a way that's pure and powerful. And by painting a picture, I saw their eyebrows go up and I saw them do it as well. But Jenny, it doesn't seem to come naturally to us, does it?
No. I think that, you know, love is a commandment because it needs to be commanded. You know, it's so easy to fall into judgment, you know, being critical, opinionated. But those are the things that really, you know, from the garden, God forbid that, because that was from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And, you know, for us to evaluate people or other people's intentions or whatnot is really not eating from the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so the temptation is to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but yes, it is. But whoa, the fruit, you know, whoa, the fruit. The fruit is so big when we really grab a hold of mercy and grace for ourselves, you know. And I've discovered that the harder I am on myself, the more critical I am of others.
Very
so
good.
That's usually just a red flag, you know, if we're doing that to other people, probably because we're mad at ourselves. So, you know, loving ourselves in the way that God speaks of and loving other people and loving Him, you know, goes right back to the most important commandments, really, is this beautiful depth of love, you know, that God speaks of. But you have to be intentional because it could be, we could drift that direction real easy the wrong way.
Yeah, we've been so easily to assigning motive and making assumptions. Wow, I really appreciate that. That's just really why we asked the question. I feel like we just got a mini sermon, a mini message to really ponder. And friend, if you're listening today and you find yourself berating yourself, pay attention because, you know, we can't impart what we don't possess. You're doing that to yourself. You're most likely looking at others with a critical eye. And, you know, Jenny, you write in the book that you really are a high producer. Your husband is as well. You manage a lot. And you said years ago when you saw someone struggling with anxiety, stress, or unrest, you actually viewed them as weak-minded or weak in faith. How did that change for you?
Yeah, I you know, I do very much honor, you know, discipline and mental discipline. And I was just raised that way. You know, you just pull it together. You know, that's what I was told. And so you grow up with that frame of mind. And, you know, there's an element of truth to just maturing and not letting your emotions get the best of you. But what had happened was I was sitting at my kitchen table doing something called listening prayer with a group of ladies. And it's basically everybody picks one person, we pray, and we start writing down everything, anything that the Holy Spirit reveals. And it's kind of fun because you really don't know what you're writing down sometimes or drawing. And so I did this for myself. The girls were doing it for me. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to do this for yourself. So on this piece of paper, I began to draw a circle. And then again and again and again. And I thought, what am I drawing here? And it was a tornado, I realized. And then I asked the question, why am I drawing a tornado? And the Lord said, Jenny, your paradigm of work and rest is inaccurate. Have you noticed that you really live for the days that come past the storm, past the deadline? It's like, okay, we got this going on this weekend. So next Thursday, really looking forward to next Thursday because this project will be done. And then I can really, really feel myself just get some peace here. And he revealed to me that's actually fantasy. And he told me, he said, you know, have you noticed that when that day comes that you were so looking forward to being on the other side of something, you know, whatever it is, it could be traumatic or it could just be a work assignment or whatever. But when you get to the other side of it, have you noticed that there's another storm that's already come in? There's already another thing. And he just said, I am not outside the storm. I'm actually inside of it. I'm in the center where everything is perfectly still. So I'll meet you there. Hmm. That's what he told me. He said, I want you to find the center because, and I thought, wow, so there's a place in my life that I can find stillness. I can find myself anchored and restful on the inside while everything is in full, you know, go mode. And I thought, wow, I need to find that spot. So it was really the first time that I came to, confession, maybe is a good word, that I was wishing away my life by just trying to push through things rather than really finding sweet joy and love and peace and calmness, even though everything was in high gear. Like I had a moment realizing, I think I'm operating in anxiety. I think I'm using stress to power me through things. And the problem with stress is it actually works a little bit. It gets you through, you know, but in the book, I call it cheap fuel because the better fuel is being seated with Christ. You know, the realization that I'm seated with Christ, and if he's not stressed, then why would I need to be, you know? And so, and there's so much more to this, obviously the dimension of the revelation just keeps going deeper and deeper, but he just wanted me to understand that, that he was my source of energy. He was my source of creativity, and that it wasn't up to me to power through something, that he would power me through. And, you know, as a very dedicated Christian, as a spirit-filled believer, I was having a moment of a paradigm shift that really started this whole journey, you know, and led to the book.
Very good. We're going to pause here talking to Jenny Donnelly. Her book is titled Still, 7 Ways to Find Calm in the Chaos. And we may end up keeping her after the live show for some bonus content because I have so many questions for her. But I want you to think about what she said. On one hand, there are many, many people who never book a break after a major project. They just keep their pedal to the metal all the time, and it's not a sustainable way to live, and this is why you see so much adrenal fatigue and such. Others may be disciplined with their rest. I've got a project, I've got to rest. That's critical and so important to overall health. But there's something even deeper Jenny's getting at here, is a heart at rest right now. In every ebb and flow to life, a heart at rest right now. That's what Jesus invites us to. Psalm 91:1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That's the deeper rest we're talking about today. How do you get there? We'll talk more about that with Jenny on the other side. We've got 5 copies of the book still. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. If you've got questions, comments, please send those in a separate text and we'll weave those into the conversation as well. More with Jenny Donnelly in just a moment. Song play out a little bit. Oh, amazing elevation worship. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Jenny Donnelly, who wrote the book Still, 7 Ways to Find Calm in the Chaos. Jesus invites you right here, right now, to find a peace that passes understanding. There is a way to get to that place, to live in that place. And really, it's what Jesus invites us to. It's a benefit of being in the kingdom. And it's what a lost and dying world needs to see on our face, is that countenance of peace. So that's what we're talking about today. We've got 5 copies of Jenny's book. If you want in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. So Jenny, talk to us about the root of unrest. What is it?
Well, I believe that the root of unrest is the perception that we are alone and that God is not with us. And so if you're all alone and here comes your life, you know, in all its forms, good, bad, stressful, you know, active, whatever. If I'm alone or I don't believe that God cares, let's say I know he's there, but I don't believe he cares, then that means it's all up to me. And so we don't actually have the power to do the life that God's called us to. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start quitting things. You know, maybe somebody starts a business and is really excited about it, gets it going, but all of a sudden it's like, you know, I'm yelling at my kids. I'm, you know, just a mess. I'm stressed out all the time. So I must have missed it. I'm quitting this business because we haven't even thought about leaning on the Father or that He would even be able to resource us with a depth of rest in our hearts that we have available to us. So I that's what I believe. I believe it's just like when you drop your baby off at the nursery at church. You know, babies are the best because they're just, you know, so wonderful. But when they look at your face, they see themselves because they don't know who they are apart from their mom or dad, you know. And so when they look at you, they see themselves. They see their image. But when you drop them off at the nursery or daycare or whatever, they get the anxiety going because they're like, oh, no, who am I? I'm looking at all these unfamiliar faces. And eventually, of course, a child, you know, grows out of that and grows into their own identity. But because we were made in God's image, when we look at Jesus, we see ourselves and we know who we are. But when we can't see Him, when we can't find His goodness, when we can't find the trust in Him being a good God and He's for us and there for us 24/7 protecting us, if we don't have that understanding that He really is that, then we don't have a face to look at. We don't have our identity to connect with. So I believe that that's it. I just believe that there's a disconnect with who God is or if He's even there.
Hmm. You're right. You are the apple of God's eye. He's the one who created the ground you walk on, the mountains that catch your breath, the sunset that warms your heart, and the oceans that roar its power. We don't need to feel anxious because God made us too. He loves us, and He's planned good things for us to do before we ever even arrived on the planet. Well, Jenny, when you look at people you've known over the years who've walked through unimaginable circumstances while reflecting a heart of peace and assurance of God's love, what would you say is the common denominator? I mean, I don't know. I mean, just how they walk, how they stay grounded. Have you noticed any kind of identifying characteristics about them?
Yes. What you'll find in people that walk in rest or really have, and I'm going to back up here and define this. When we say rest, we're not talking about an action or a verb. We're talking about a place. So what I've noticed about people who really have this depth of rest that we're, you know, that we're speaking about is they're living in a place that is protected from frazzle. It's protected from panic. They don't react to life. They stay seated. They stay in authority. You know, they're not running around with their head cut off, panicking. The sky is not falling every other minute. You know, it's and all sorts of things are happening in their life. In fact, what's interesting is the people I know that live like this, if anybody has a reason to panic, it's them. Because, you know, they're just going after it in the kingdom and the enemy's not nice and he doesn't play fair. And yet they've learned how to live in rest, and actually rest becomes their weapon. Rest becomes how they actually are able to fight a spiritual battle and win. And yet there's other people who have not a very large life. They haven't said yes to a lot of things that God's asked them to do, but yet every little bit, you know, they didn't get enough hours of sleep last night. You know, they like to get 8 hours, but they only got 6. So that means the rest of their day, all they can think about is they didn't get enough sleep. You know, and it just steals their joy. It steals their moments. And it's so minuscule. It's so minor because they haven't learned to plug into Old Faithful. You know, if you think about Yellowstone, Old Faithful and that big giant, you know, force, that is actually, even a smaller example of the amount of energy that God resources you in rest. And I have a couple examples about that, like real examples I got this morning through text, but, really neat stuff. In fact, I'll say this, Susan, you can, you know, stop me or ask me a different question anytime, but I was at church. We were doing this as a series at church. And so last Sunday, I just explained, you know, that we lean on different things during times of pressure. We all do. We all have our little pacifiers and our binkies that we grab. And, you know, we lean on something to get us through. And I was speaking specifically about food in this example. And I said, you know, I just felt prophetically that there were some people that were really leaning on food as a medication, as a remedy, as a way to escape this crazy feeling. Nobody likes to feel crazy. It's awful. But yet food gives you a little bit of endorphin. It gives you a little bit of a high. And so I said, you know, if that's you, then what I want you to do is I want you to just intentionally, when that moment comes and you think, I have to go eat, I'm not even hungry, but I have to go eat to make this feeling go away, I want you to get on your knees, not religiously, but get on your knees and say, Father, food usually gives me a little pick-me-up when I feel like this. Are you better than food? Are you more comforting than food? I actually need your tangible presence to come surge me like a live wire. I need you to plug me in because my body, my physical, my everything about me right now is frazzled, and I'm going to trust you and I'm going to wait for you. I got a text this morning and a gal that just came to faith. She said that she woke up at 2 a.m., had a headache, and what she usually does is run to the food. And she said, I laid there and surrendered. And she said, I've never had a moment like that with Jesus. And he came, cleared her headache, and comforted her. Nothing that food could ever do for you. It can't sustain that. And so it made my heart leap because that's exactly what we're talking about. Because if we're operating in religion, religion can't do that. But the presence of God, the person of the Holy Spirit, he's so faithful. He's so committed. And he so desires to be our everything. And so it's in those moments of pressure and stress, if we will just open our hands and say, I'm not going to reach for the thing that I usually reach for. For some, it's pornography. For some, it's, for a lot of people, it's irritability. You know, irritability. Some people lean on irritability to get them through a moment. And I just want to challenge every listener, in the moment that you go to those things, not, there's no condemnation in Christ. This isn't about condemnation. This is about awareness. This is about, hold on a minute. Am I using irritability to, you know, get my kids in the car on time? What if I stop right now and rather than using irritability, hey, Jesus, I need you to help me. I have my kids running in three different directions and they're not listening. I can't find their shoes. One is screaming, one's crying, one hit the other one. Would you come and empower me and my children right now? Would you come and breathe unity into this space right now? And I'm not going to use irritability to try to control my atmosphere. So does that make sense? It
makes
really
so
an intentional
sense.
Movement. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jenny, that's just fabulous. Before we go to this hard break, as she's speaking, I'm thinking, and I'm going to step on some toes, but some of you may be using the rage of the political conversation right now to deflect from what God really wants to get at in your heart. Maybe it's fear. Maybe he's putting his finger on something and you want the louder noise because you're not ready to surrender. But I'm asking you, maybe turn off the news and say, are you better? Will you speak to me? What does faith look like here? What does obedience look like here? I'm talking to Jenny Conley. Her book is titled Still. We've got 5 copies to give away. I'd love to get one into your hands. Text to get in on the drawing. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to author, speaker Jenny Donnelly. Her book is titled Still, 7 Ways to Find Calm in the Chaos. And what we want to convey to you today is God has issued you an invitation to find rest in him in every situation, to find calm in the chaos, to be in the eye of the storm with him while the world just rages and goes absolutely crazy all around us. There's a way to have a countenance of peace, a heart of peace, because we are connected to God Most High. We're seated with him. Well, we've got 5 copies of Jenny's book to give away, so I'd just love for you to text if you want in on the drawing. Just text the word book to 877-933-2484. And Jenny, a few years ago, Barna released a report that basically said, Christians are no different than the unbelieving world with how we medicate our pain. And I'm not talking medications. I'm talking about numbing out, kind of like you were saying, going to food, going to alcohol, going to social media, where I don't want to feel So I'm going to numb out, which keeps us from growth, the best of what God has. And you said this. You said, we can be fooled into thinking that if we don't make eye contact with our circumstances, that we won't have to feel their woes on the inside. We imagine we can close our eyes, cover our ears, and ignore what's going on so we don't have to feel the pain. I want you to talk about that idea and what a hindrance it is to rest, because numbing it out isn't rest and it's not healing. So say more if you would.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I remember sitting in my chair, a little spot where I pray in the morning, and this was a couple years ago, but I was sitting there and it was pretty quiet in the morning before my kids getting up. And you know, I just like to listen, you know, Holy Spirit, what do you want to tell me? I don't know much, you know a lot. And he just said, okay, I'm going to lift up the rug. I'm going to start lifting up the rug, and I'm going to start one at a time revealing some things. Some things you will see that were under the rug are from your marriage. Some are in your business. Some are in your children. Some are in your friendships. And some are in you. And I just want you to know I'm going to bring them one at a time. And it's okay. When you see them, don't be surprised. They've been there the whole time. And here's what we're going to do. I want you to square your shoulders to them. And address it head on. If you turn away or scoot away or, you know, don't square up to it, it's going to grow. It's going to get bigger and it's going to not be fun to deal with at all. But if you square up to it, I will take care of it in a moment. And it was like I could hear him snap his fingers. You know, in a moment, I will take care of it. It'll be done. So he followed through with that. And one at a time, here came, you know, one thing here, another thing here. And I just remember his promise that if I look at this thing square on, he said he would deal with it. He would deal with it. And so as things come up, like in a relationship, a good friend of mine, you know, something came up there and it was, you know, heartbreaking. And I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he says, you're going to have to talk to her. You're going to have to sit down and talk to her. And I'm like thinking, I just want to do the kumbaya thing. I was a middle child. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sit down and make people feel upset. I don't, you know, let's just forget about this. You know, let's just move on. And he just said, it's just a real maturing time for me to look at things. And so he dealt with them, every single one of them right away. And it was a trust dance with him and I, as he would reveal something to one of my kids. And then he would say, now square up to that. Okay, now I'll take care of it. And it was like, wow. So things that come up in life that are scary to even think that are actually happening in our life are okay, because these are God's battles. But if I'm running from them or pretending they're not there, then they just grow moldy, icky, creepy stuff under the rug, right? And then they show up. Mm-hmm. They show up in symptoms in our life. They show up in our emotions. They show up in our kids, you know. And so you just, okay, God, here we go, you know. And so I wouldn't say that was the funnest season of my life for sure, but he was so faithful. And it's like this crazy, amazing trust that I have in him. I don't panic when things go wrong anymore. You know, I just don't. My husband and I had a business of 20 years. I'll give you an example, 20 years, and God blessed it. It was just an incredible, incredible blessing in our life. And then our company restructured and we got notice this last May that we would have 2 months more of income and then it would be completely gone.
Whoa.
And 100% gone. Yeah. And we, you know, we have a church, we have a ministry. And, so, okay. All right. All right, God, but I'd already been through this boot camp of dealing with things head on. Mm-hmm. And so we had a lot of people in our business that were very, very sour. Some people were very faithful. Some people are still very bitter, not towards us, but just, you know, they were in our same position in the company. They went through the same thing as we did. But I can tell you that when something happens to you out of your control, and yet God says, just like I helped you with those other, you know, 82 things we dealt with, I'm going to do this one too. And I had so much, you know, so much trust and faith and he followed through. miracle after miracle, he just took care of us. So, you know, it's just how much energy are we wasting? How much joy are we forfeiting by getting all caught up in, you know, things that happen, because we literally think that God's not even there. He's not even in it. Oh, he's in it. He's just really waiting for us to invite him into that encounter, into that confrontation, and into that battle.
Francis Frangipane once wrote that we cannot grow beyond our ability to receive correction. And I just want that to settle in. We cannot grow beyond our ability to receive correction. And when the Lord issues it, it's always invitation, never condemnation, as you say. And yet you're right. Far too many people leave their trauma in the past and they never fully deal with it. And then you address the issue of unforgiveness and how that actually impacts our sense of peace and rest. And we're given countless opportunities to forgive, as you were with this business situation. But talk about trauma, unforgiveness, and its impact on our current sense of presence and peace.
Oh my goodness. This one's the biggest one. If I could sit down and say one thing to, you know, as many people that would line up and listen to me about rest, it would be, please let go of every person that's ever hurt you, including yourself. Because what happens is a bitter root begins to grow. And bitterness is a counterfeit boundary. And I went through a really hard situation in a business setting several years ago, and I was standing in church, and I just thought, Lord, what's this feeling I have in my heart? You know, I've been through lots of forgiveness, lots and lots and lots, you know. But in this situation, I could feel my heart being scratchy and hard and a pushback. I could feel that, and I don't like that. I don't want my heart to be like that. I want to be soft and tender. And I said, I feel this way towards this group of people. And he said to me, he just showed up. I saw a vision, actually, just in my mind's eye, you know. He just said, here, take this. And he said, I'm going to give you a boundary. You give me your bitterness. And I thought, okay. I didn't even realize that. I'm using bitterness as a boundary because I don't want them to hurt me again. So bitterness is this counterfeit, like, if I'm mad at you, then you have no ability to hurt me again. Instead of a boundary, which then I had to ask the question, what's the healthy boundary you're giving me? Apparently I don't know, because I'm using bitterness because I don't know the healthy boundary. And he says, it's love. It's love. And I like to equate it to like Care Bears, the Care Bear stare. If you remember, you know, you have to be a certain age to get this, but the Care Bears, you know, the light beam would come, you know, boom. And just, it's this like ray of love. And he just told me to love people on the offense, get on the offense. Bitterness, you're on the defense. You're a victim. You're, you know, people are against you. But when you get on offense, you're loving out. And love does protect you. The love from God, the love that we say, you know what? I'm going to love you. I'm going to find something about you that is wonderful. Even though I could maybe say 20 things that you've done to hurt me, I can find one thing that God put in you that is wonderful and good, and I'm going to love that. I'm going to choose to love the king in you and speak to the king in you and not the fool in you. And each one of us have a king and a fool inside of us. It's just the one we talk to is the one that we see appear.
Wow,
so,
that's so good.
Yeah. So I just, you know, unforgiveness is a rotting away of your own self. It will rot your destiny. It will rot your relationships, because think of porcupine quills. Okay. So unforgiveness leads to this bitter thing that is like porcupine quills. And you know, you can get up to somebody, but once you get to a certain closeness, proximity, you're going to get poked. And the thing about bitterness, unfortunately, is that it's not just protecting you from the person who hurt you, and it's not protecting you at all. But it's not just keeping that person away, it's keeping everybody away. Because now we just become pokey. And so even the people we love, I remember thinking this, Susan, why am I being irritable at that person? They didn't do anything to me. You know, and I just stop and go, why am I being, you know, grumpy and cranky? And, you know, if you're married, you probably understand all this, right? And it's because something completely unrelated to that person has affected me, and I've held on to unforgiveness. And so now everybody else, if they get in a certain proximity to my heart, they're going to feel something pokey because I don't want to get hurt again. I don't want, like, if your shoulder was injured and I just ran up to you, hey, how are you? You would pull back. You know, even though I'm coming out with you with love, you would pull back because your shoulder's hurt, right? So bitterness doesn't allow us to heal. We're walking wounded people. And all we do is jerk back when people are trying to love us. And we just think, you know, and if you're a pretty aware person, if you've decided to be aware of yourself, you will notice you do these things and you go, why do I do that? Why can't I receive love in its fullest way? And it's because there is a wound inside. And unforgiveness is usually, it's usually the root of wounds. That's my experience of being in ministry for so long. So,
you know, it really does that unforgiveness. If we dig deeper, even it really speaks to our unbelief in the justice of God, that vengeance and vindication aren't from him, but they are. And I've just noticed over the years, Jenny, as I've forgiven and walked in the fear of the Lord and gone on the offense with love, anybody who would try to come against me actually faces God as a foe, because he's the fiercest defender for those who fear him. Not that because they're perfect, but because they walk in the fear of God, and you want to be defended by God, you stay in alignment and humble yourself. He will defend you. And I just think we don't always trust that he will come through for us. So that's really, really powerful. Forgiveness is so significant. And even replacing lies with the truth, significant in our healing process. When we come back, I want you to talk about that whole idea of soul healing and how that is very connected to our ability to walk in God's presence in the present, to receive his rest, because we've got to refute some of the lies embedded in our soul. I'm talking to Jenny Donnelly today. Great book titled Still, 7 Ways to Find Calm in the Chaos. I see the text coming in. We've got 5 copies to give away. You want in on the drawing? Just text the word book to 877-933-2484. You've got questions, comments, use that same number, but put it in a separate text. We'll be back in a minute. Mighty God, he's a wonderful counselor. He's the Prince of Peace. I don't think we can fathom what we possess, what we inherited because we belong to Jesus. The Bible says every spiritual blessing belongs to us because we belong to him. Isn't that amazing? Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, talking to author, speaker Jenny Donnelly. Her book is titled Still, 7 Ways to Find Calm in the Chaos. And I just got to say, because I knew this would happen, because there's so much content in this book that I know I wrote down more notes than we have time for. And so Jenny's graciously agreed to stay on after the live show. We're going to record a little bit of bonus content for those of you who listen via podcast. Those of you who listen to the live radio show, we've got a fast-growing podcast audience. So you should subscribe because we record bonus material kind of regularly. So I'm excited to go over these 7 bullet points with Jenny in just a moment. Before the break, though, you talked about bitterness being a boundary and how the Lord pulled that from you and gave you love as a boundary to go on the offense in love. And this dear listener writes, what should it look like when a spouse uses the bitterness for a boundary and the other one uses love as a boundary? What do you say?
I would say that love is more powerful than any force on earth. So what we have to do is when love on the offense has no expectations of anything in return because it's just giving it away. So the other one might use bitterness back. And I was just, I'm discipling a young gal right now, and I'm just teaching her how to love. And I asked her, we were in the room, and I said, you know, she's been hurt. She's been through a lot. And I just said, you know, why don't you come over here and hug me? Why don't you pursue me? I'm going to show you how to love on the offense. It would be you approaching me. So she came over and hugged me. And I said, now I actually felt that that was genuine. Was that genuine? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, I felt that. Thank you. You know, I was just teaching her how to love offensively. And then we were talking about a friend that she was having a hard time forgiving. And I said, here's my suggestion, is you do to her what you just did to me. You go hug her. But let me tell you something. She might not give you the response I gave you. She might go, I'm skeptical. You know, I don't know. You know, she might pull back from you. Or she might say, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I love you too. I don't know how she's going to react, but love is risky. Love requires faith. But the Bible says, you know, what's accounted to us if we only love people who love us back? And so love is this one way, you just have to see it as a one way street. It's just something you give with and trusting God that He will give you the love that you need in return. And so I used to depend on my husband to love me back. So if I saw him like roll his eyes at me or whatever, you know, cause he's a human too, right? Then and I was just like devastated, you know, like he thinks I'm terrible. And, you know, because I had a really strong father wound actually, which I did not know, you know, had to be uncovered, but I just felt so unloved. So when the Lord, you know, led me into the secret place, into the prayer closet, into the place where He said, I'm calling you alone. And I'm going to love you. The love you need, Jenny, He can't even actually give you. It's too deep. It's too thorough. It's too detailed, you know? And so I just began to really pursue a receptive love from God. I was good at doing, not very good at being. So I had to reverse my thoughts and think, I'm just going to sit here and soak in God's love and allow Him to love me. That was really harder than I'm making it sound right now, because I'm a doer, but I just laid under the lavish love of God. What happened was when I would love out, I actually didn't even notice if people were receiving it or not. It actually didn't matter because I was so resourced and so full in God's love. So, but I know that that's a little tricky between a husband and a wife, because that is a very intimate relationship and it's tender and it's sensitive. But, you know, the Lord just kept challenging me, love out, love out, love out. And over time, especially a spouse, love will win them over. If it's not, it won't.
Well, I was going to say, mm-hmm. simultaneously in your prayer time, you were being on the receiving end of God's love. And sometimes yes. I think Christians think, you know, well, God gave His only Son. What more do I want? And this is a paraphrase of a Soren Kierkegaard quote, but he said, God not only loved us first when He sent His Son, He loves us first every single day. And I just love that, yeah. that His love is always on the offense. Daily, the heavens are pouring forth speech. And I just, again, you can't impart what you don't possess. And so if you especially are in such close quarters with someone whose boundary is bitterness, all the more reason, don't you think, Jenny, put your oxygen mask yes. on, extend your time with God, and become acquainted with His very profound and active love for you?
Yeah, amen. That's it right there. And when you have Jesus, you have everything you need. And I know that sounds so simplistic, but it is so profound because you have everything you need. It's kind of like having kids. You know, I have two toddlers right now and then two teenagers. I don't have very many kids that have done that much for me, to be honest. You know, I mean, they're pretty demanding. They are pretty egocentric. They have their needs and they need them right now, you know, but there's some kind of grace we extend kids that for some reason we pull back on our spouse. And I would just say, could we extend that kind of love where I'm just here to serve you. I'm here to love you. I'm here to, what can I do for you? I mean, that love melts people, but your heart has its motive. The motive cannot be, well, I'm going to love because then it'll change them. It's not that motive. The motive is I'm going to love because that's who I am for them. I
and
am the
God
heart of God.
Me.
They need, that's how God loves me. So that's, I'm going to love them. Yes. Yes, totally. That's great.
You write this. My prayer is that God's true nature will be revealed to you and that His all-consuming love will heal your heart and reveal and restore your worth. If you ask God to reveal His heart for you, He will. You know, you talked about you were married 10 years before you really understood that you weren't unwanted by your husband. You lived for 10 years thinking you were unwanted, even though he loved you. We got about three, 4 minutes left, but tell us that story of how God really broke the power of that lie over your life and how it changed things.
Well, at first I thought it was true. You know, I thought it was true. I thought he doesn't love me as much as I want him to. And then I started, you know, you get in the Word, you get in a culture, you get in a good church that begins to teach about the enemy and how he lies to you, and it just crossed my, you know, it starts crossing your mind, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's something going on in my head here. Maybe I'm deceived. And what had happened was, just through, again, honesty with the Holy Spirit, he kept asking me to forgive my dad, which felt completely unrelated. Okay? And he just would ask me, and I thought, we just did this. I just did this. I've been doing this for a year, and then 2 years, and then 3 years. Forgiving my dad for what? I loved my dad. I don't know why I'm forgiving my dad, but I will. Okay, sounds good. And what happened was, I used to live in the, you know, put your fingers in your ears, la, 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 la. That's how I coped as a child when my parents got divorced. So he kept asking me to forgive, and then I finally had to say, for what? What am I forgiving him for? And he said, you're hurt. You're hurt. And I didn't want the story. I didn't want to be hurt. I didn't want that to be my story. So I had to get really honest, and he brought me something I did not have, and that was compassion for myself, because I lacked compassion for my own upbringing. I lacked compassion for a little girl that didn't have a dad, because my dad, actually, I didn't live with him. So I was thinking, oh, I'm strong. That made me strong. Okay, there's elements of truth to that. But in reality, there was a little girl who desperately needed her daddy. And until I sat down and ministered to me the way I would minister to anybody else. And actually, you minister way better when you minister to yourself. But I finally had to realize that little Jenny did not have a father, and that's sad. So I am going to cry tears that I've not cried for her ever about this. And I was afraid, Susan, I was afraid that I was going to fall into self-pity. That's why I didn't do it. Because I was raised, there's no room for self-pity, which, you know, amen, right? But what happened was, I confused self-pity and compassion. I had those mixed up. So I had to, you know, I had to take this little girl and say, Jesus was there the whole time. You were not alone. You were never alone. Even though your dad wasn't there, your dad was there. You know, Jesus was there. And I had to minister to that little girl. And then what happened was, my husband one night, because I'd started realizing maybe I'm mad at Bob. Maybe I feel unloved by Bob, my husband, because I never felt loved by my dad. Okay, wait, I'm getting this. You know, the dots are starting to connect here. And Bob, my husband, one night said, because I was saying something and I was being quite mean. And he said, Jenny, I'm not your dad. And I'm not your punching bag. And he had tears down his face. And my husband's very strong, very grounded, very stable. And I thought, what am I doing? And a godly remorse came over me, more so than I think that's ever hit me in my entire life. And I thought, I am so sorry. I'm beating you up because I have not resolved the hurt little girl in me that did not have a man pursuing her, didn't have a father. Women were meant for pursuit by a man. We're built like that. So I just was, that's where it all started over for me. And I just spent time apologizing. I need filled up by Jesus. So, and my husband, thank God, had a relationship with Jesus to get through that.
And, you know, those truth moments, truth bomb moments, what a powerful conversation. When we get over the live show here in just a moment, we're going to stay on and talk through the seven ways to find calm in the chaos. But a couple of things that I'm thinking about, as Jenny just talked, we'll never heal from hurts that we refuse to acknowledge. And self-pity and grief, well, they're two different things. Maybe if you're afraid of self-pity, you're not properly grieving hurts that you need to acknowledge so God can heal them. Talking to Jenny Donnelly today, what a fantastic conversation. Her book is titled Still, Seven Ways to Find Calm in the Chaos. We'll leave the drawing open for about another 15 minutes. Text the word book if you want in, 877-933-2484. Now check out the podcast once the live show is over, and you'll get to hear the bonus content on the seven ways to find calm in the chaos. Thanks for tuning in today. Hope you found some encouragement here. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Middays with Susie Larson. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.